Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Dust on the wind, boots on the ground, smoke in the sky, no peace found. Rivers run red, the drums roll slow. Tell me, brother, where do we go? Raise your hand.
Dust on the wind from the band Velvet Sundown. The band amassed more than a million streams on Spotify in a matter of weeks with that track. The only problem was the band and its members don't actually exist. After weeks of speculation, it was confirmed that they and their music were actually an AI-generated creation from start to finish. Graham Smith, musician and 2FM broadcaster, joins me to talk about the seemingly unstoppable rise of AI in music. I'm wise after the fact listening to that now, and I think that I might have spotted it. Yeah. Did you spot it at the time?
I did. When I first listened to them, so back in June, they released their first album. They've released three albums within 2 months.
Well, that should have been the first thing that set off alarm bells. No difficult second album there when all you have to do is press a button.
Exactly. And I'm quite nerdy with my music. So I'm on a lot of threads and forums, and on social media site Reddit, there was a thread with people who had the Velvet Sundown appearing in their Discover Weekly on Spotify. So Spotify's algorithm will give you songs based on what you listen to. So Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young fans would probably get the Velvet Sundown into the playlist.
Makes sense.
So people started looking for gigs of the Velvet Sundown and biographies, and where are these people from and what are they doing? And there was nothing out there except images that looked like they came from a PlayStation video game. Quite clearly AI generated. So eventually Rolling Stone did an article saying this is clearly an AI-generated band. There were
AI-generated images. Let's talk about the sound. If you were only to go on the music alone, do you think you would have spotted, Graham?
Probably not right away, but I think that all of the lyrics, like Ash and Velvet, Smoke and Flame, calling out in freedom's name, it does sound like if Neil Young is in the Louvre, this sounds like paint by numbers.
Yeah, they might just be lesser artists who are derivative of Neil Young, though, in fairness. I mean, is there anything in the actual sound, though? Let's just keep on playing a bit more of it there, Tommy.
Raise your hand, don't look away. Sing out loud.
God, it's pretty convincing, isn't it?
It is, but I feel anyway, I cringe a bit, and I did when I first listened to it, and I didn't know why, but I thought it was being put on, like it was an act, and they didn't actually feel what they were saying. So now that could have been just me being cynical, but that was my first impression of the song when I heard it.
Okay, so there was a little bit of a sort of a pastiche, which is probably right, because it is clearly derivative of Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, and Neil Young in his own right. Where did all of this go? How much did this earn these people?
So earning is quite hard to figure out, because with streaming figures, they're split up among every song that is played. So every year, no matter how many songs are played, there is a pool of money and they get split up between all of them. So streaming, you're not going to make that much money on. The big ways you will make money, merchandise and touring. And
which they couldn't, well, they could do the merchandising, but they couldn't do the touring. So, I mean, what was the point of this exercise for these people?
It was a project to see how far this could actually go. Because if Spotify is putting it on curated playlists and other streaming services are doing the same, this means that people are going to listen to this music whether they want to or not.
So have they done us a favour then in exposing how readily Spotify put this music into its playlists?
That's what I'm hoping. And that possibly this AI-generated music, a conversation will be had, and the likes of Elton John and Dua Lipa, who are lobbying the British government to update copyright laws to include protection from AI, maybe that will come into law quicker than it was going to be.
Is it all bad? Is there ever a reason to turn to AI as a music creator?
I think there are. And I think it's the line between what is practical to help you finish a project and what is wholesale, the computer is creating everything, like the Velvet Sundown project, where the lyrics, the photos, the music, the vocals, everything were done by a computer. But if you take Paul McCartney, for instance, he was handed a tape by Yoko Ono in the 90s that said "For Paul." It was from John Lennon, and it had three demo tracks on it. And two of those songs were released in the 90s as the Beatles. But the third track, George Harrison said, "John's voice is too far away. There are too many pops and crackles and white noise. It's just the fidelity of it isn't good enough to put on a song. I don't want to release that." But then when Paul was working with Peter Jackson on Get Back, which was the documentary film about the Let It Be sessions, it was on Disney Plus during COVID, and I think everyone watched the whole 13 hours in a row. It was almost like you were sitting in with the Beatles at that recording session. They used AI so that if, Philip, you and I are sitting 30 feet away from each other and you're way away from the microphones and there's guitars and there's drums and there's people talking and everything and you can barely hear them speaking in the background, they used AI to clear everything else so you could just recognize John's voice or Paul's voice and bring it to the fore. So Paul thought, well, we could actually use this technology now on that demo I got from Yoko in the 90s, use this technology and create Now and Then.
Okay. Because it was, in fairness, a recording that John Lennon willingly made. It wasn't his fault that it was badly recorded. So, yes, okay, go and deploy this technology to bring that song to fruition.
Yes, completely.
Okay, we'll just skip the order of what we're going to play slightly. And Tommy, would you give us a roll there of that Now and Then, please? It's hard to argue against that. I think you might feel a little bit more comfortable about it had George Harrison actually been alive to give it his thumbs up.
Yeah.
But on the whole, it sounds like a worthwhile exercise. I wonder now, though, can the same be said for this next example? This is a little bit of a David Guetta track with a vocalist that sounds suspiciously like Eminem.
This is the future rave sound. I'm getting lost in an underground. This is the future rave sound. I'm getting lost in an underground.
Was it Marshall Mathers, though?
It was not. So David Guetta, a huge DJ, probably the biggest one in the world and has been for about 20 years, and producer as well. He's always top 10 in the pop charts. But he thought, well, I'm going to mess around with this AI now because we have to push technology forward and use what we have at our disposal. So he put into ChatGPT, "Can you give me lyrics based on Eminem if he was chatting over a rave track, if he was saying something to do with futuristic rave?" So ChatGPT gave him lines based on that. And then he fed it into Suno, which is a music generator, and said, "Okay, take these lyrics and put them in the style of Eminem," and a few more prompts to make it more energetic and everything else. And it spat out this vocal. And what David did was he had a production which was instrumental, and he laid the Eminem vocal on top of it, played it out live, and got a huge reaction from the crowd.
And has history recorded Eminem's reaction to this?
He has not commented thus far, but David has said, "It was just to play out live. I'm not going to release it commercially, and that's the end of it."
Yeah, but is it the end of it? Because it feels an awful lot like a Pandora's box being opened up.
I mean,
particularly if the crowd reaction was that good, is any performer, is any creator going to say, okay, no, I'll just turn my back on that?
Yeah, it almost encourages other producers to try out the same thing. And then maybe now that we all have phones, if people are in the crowd and they're putting it up on Instagram and TikTok and this ends up going viral, then maybe someone like Eminem will say, oh, well, actually, do release that song, but give me 50% of the cut. Who knows?
I saw a headline in the New York Times yesterday about Mark Zuckerberg doing negotiations with an AI engineer, somebody who at the age of 24 now is being paid or has signed a contract for, wait for it, $250 million to be paid out over 4 years. The first $100 million of it will come in the first year of the contract. That's the kind of money that is being thrown into AI, which means that you would think that we are all going to get steamrolled by this just because of these kind of economic imperatives and that amount of money behind something like this. So, with that in mind, do we just learn to love AI-generated music because it's going to happen anyway? Or do we, as you say, Dua Lipa is doing now, try and set a line in the sand and just say, no, thank you?
Well, yeah, we are playing catch up, as you were alluding to there. And I think that it's in everything now. Anyway, the feelers are in. You're not going to be able to get them out. You can only stop a couple of them. So I think the way of slowing it down is, in my view, is to have the practical elements. So if you have a John Lennon vocal, it's a bit dusty and you can use AI to make it sound cleaner. Great, because
There's only so much of that exists, though. And you know that, like, once again, the history of human endeavor shows that once we can do something, we kind of do end up doing it anyway.
Yes. And retrospectively, if we take sampling, for instance, in the 90s, so hip hop was made. They didn't have instruments. They took other people's music and rapped over it. And at the time, there were no laws for sampling or using it. So they had to retrospectively go back and take certain cuts of the royalties. So if you use a Chic sample like Good Times by Chic and you rapped over that like the Sugar Hill Gang did, then Nile Rodgers of Chic will go back and say, hey, guys, you're going to have to pay me for this. Whereas with AI, it's a bit more indirect because the computer is generating it based on influences and data. It's not directly lifting it. So it's going to be hard to see between the weeds of, okay, what is wholesale using a whole Beatles discography and that is it to influence this AI generated song, and what is using the whole world of music to generate an AI song. I don't know how people are going to update copyright laws to include protection from AI. I think, as you say, it's just going to be a way that we live with it.
Yeah, I think it's actually already been decided. There was a court in the United States that just said the other day, AI is fair use of this copyright. You might have obtained it illegally by piracy, but it is fair use. Very interesting that the texts coming in are wholly unsympathetic to musicians. This one says, most new male solo artists sound like AI. They all have the basic drum and beat loop keyboard in the background and then a monotonous whaley chorus. Fair play to the AI guys for getting away with it. Jarlett says, that AI music sounds like the Stereophonics, and that's not a compliment. Oh dear. That wasn't, I would imagine, as a musician, the reaction that you were hoping for.
No, probably not. But it's interesting. Nick Cave, he releases a weekly mailing list called the Red Hand Files. And 2 months ago, someone submitted lyrics from ChatGPT in the style of Nick Cave, and he called them grotesque and an erosion of the world's soul. But then 2 days ago, he released an AI music video for the 40th anniversary of his song Tupelo, which uses AI-generated videos of stock images of Elvis Presley. And he said that we're going to have to live with this. And I think I'm changing my mind about this whole thing.
That's quite the turnaround, isn't it? Okay, we'll explore that in more detail. Graham, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Let's take a break.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.